to the Talk Up Podcast. Find us on all your favorite podcast platforms or watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, bud. Episode 4, Talk Up Podcast. Whether you are watching on YouTube or listening on your favorite podcast app, got me and Kurt back here. Different background this time. We're in your shed this time.
Yeah, that's it, man. We're change of scenery. Change.
Well, we've pretty much been spending all of our time in here lately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been hectic.
It's been an arduous journey.
Yeah, very much so.
I have noticed, though, the listens and the followers on like Spotify, Apple Music and stuff, they've been kind of taking off. And because of that, the views of the podcasts on YouTube have been going down slightly.
Yeah, okay.
I think probably it'll get to a point eventually where the podcast probably won't go on YouTube, because I think the video itself for YouTube, it doesn't really add that much value. You know what I mean? Like you're listening to it, you're not watching it.
Yeah.
So I think eventually, I don't know.
How much extra work is it to put it up there? Not much.
No, it's not any extra work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just figured if no one's watching on there, well then,
yeah,
we just because you can watch a video podcast on Spotify.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know,
but some people might not do the podcast thing as well. You know what I mean? Like,
well, let us know if you're a listener or a watcher or both. Which one do you prefer? We can roll with.
Because I do like watching some podcasts, as opposed to listening. If you can, it depends, obviously. But yeah.
Yeah.
Why not give everyone the option all the time?
Yeah,
depends. Sure. It depends whether the juice is worth the squeeze or not. But if it's not much work.
No, it's not much extra work.
Yeah.
Anywho, back at the ranch. Yeah.
Episode 4, though. I thought it was 3. I was thinking as the intro was coming in, oh, yeah, this will be our 3rd one now. But no, it's 4th. We might have to actually start taking this semi-seriously soon. Not even semi, just a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, every time we do this, I haven't really planned much. So we just wing it, which I don't know. That's our style.
Yeah, that is the way to do it. But I was saying, we've spent just about every waking moment in here. If we haven't been at work or asleep, we've been in here.
Yeah.
Doing a bit. The car is nearly ready to go to the paint booth.
Yeah.
It's just about there, hey?
Yeah.
We've got some hours ahead of us. If you've been following us on Facebook or Instagram, you would have seen we've put up, you know, various clips of sanding, painting.
Yeah, Curto trying to resemble someone that is somewhat proficient at something, which is not the case at all. So
yeah, I just edited out the parts where he's rocking in the corner.
Oh, yeah, it's never much fun when you're learning something. Once you've learned it, like anything, it's easy once you've learned it, but just rushing. I think the rushing thing for me is what's got me on the back foot, because as I'm starting to learn now, I start getting a bit anxious when I don't know exactly what I'm doing, or if I'm under the pump, I'll just go straight to, all right, full bore, let's try and get this done. And it sort of bit me on the ass a bit with this job, but that's all part of it.
So I guess, for those, if you haven't been following along, we have uploaded 2 videos so far this year, so people can, you know, be happy about that. But if
clap, clap.
But if you haven't followed along, why is there a deadline? Run us through the little story. Why do you feel like you're under the pump?
Because I am.
Yeah.
But basically, you and our boy Jerome and my lovely wife Zoe thought it'd be a great idea just to enter me into motivation, because if you know me, I'm not motivated to do anything. I'll talk about things but then just never do them, because it's easier that way.
Yeah.
I don't have to put myself under any sort of pressure, whether it's real or not. I'm just I'd rather just cruise. So anyway, as a bit of a Christmas gift, Zoe got me a ticket to motivation. What is it,
37. Yeah, Motivation 37. They've just had Summonats 35. We're going to Motivation 37.
Yeah.
This is the original horsepower party for Australia.
Yeah, you would never think that Motivation's been around longer than Summonats. Hey, when you think like the most iconic, obviously Summonats is on another level, but
yeah
to think that Motivation's actually started 2 years earlier.
Mm.
It's a fun fact, really.
Yeah, it was kind of the platform that Summonats was built on.
Yeah.
But we thought it would be a great idea. Your wife was struggling for Christmas gift ideas, and we had a couple of things that we were trying to tee up, but then in the end she goes, why don't I just enter his car? And I was like, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
hey, if anything's going to get you going, it's a deadline.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, it's one of those things. If the car doesn't get done, you can just delay your entry to next year or whatever. Yeah. But,
which I only just found out today that you could do that. But
oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Nah, it's, look, this, if you've followed this channel for any duration of time, this car's always been spoken about the whole time, and it never gets done. I do a little bit here and there, and I just fluff around, like I really do.
Mm.
I get more keen and interested in doing other people's stuff for some reason. It's just easier, but it's good to push through, you know. And like I've said in the video, I'm going to have to paint this roof again because I think I've stuffed up a few of the early steps with the rust removal and stuff like that. But that's okay. For now, getting the screens glued in, it's a good step to working towards getting it, you know, on the dyno and just out there getting the bugs out of it, you know what I mean? The whole car, if anyone, when we see you guys at Motivation, you'll see how rough the car really is. It's really is a rough example of a VR Commodore. So the whole car will eventually get done. But for now,
she's got good bones. And I mean, now, obviously, the first step for us is we've got to get this to paint. You're not going to paint it. We've got it in primer.
Oh man, I hated doing
the engine.
If I had a space where I didn't have to worry so much about getting overspray on stuff and primer dust and bog dust and stuff, you really want a spot to do that. And this, you know, garage, or not garage, but you know, this backyard shed of mine, it's set up for fabrication, and I just and plus I've got tons of spares around everywhere. That's what sort of piqued me, really. Everything else. So if I had a spot to do it, it'd be a lot more of a nicer learning experience.
A pleasurable experience.
Yeah, so.
But once it comes back from paint, then we've got to basically get a couple of wiring things sorted out and put a full interior back in. The aim is we get it there, it passes Scroot with working lights and a horn, and, you know, because it starts and runs and it will move under its own power. So it'll be able to go on a smooth cruise session or something.
Yeah, although that wasn't the initial plan. Like the
that's
main
the lofty goal.
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. Like, just like I was aiming to do this roof once and not have to do it again when the whole car gets done. Well, that we missed that goal, but I'm okay with it now. You know what I mean? Like, you aim for it, you swing, and you have a bit of a miss, and that's okay.
Mm.
So that's where we're at. So the ultimate goal would be, yeah, if we could take it on a smooth cruise and this cooling system holds up, like the weekend, I'll be ridiculously pumped. But yeah, I think I'll be pretty happy just to get it there, parked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyone can have a look and just a bit of conversation piece.
And it's going to be awesome. We've had heaps of people sending us messages, like literally saying that they want to meet us at Motivation, which blows our mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, man, I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, we've said it before, there's four cars that are entered in the Talk Hub camp, we'll call it, being this one, my ute, the blown VSU, the Procharged XY Falcon, and there's an orange VK, which hasn't been on the channel, but he's a dude that you've done a bit of fab work for.
Yeah, he's a friend, yeah.
Yeah, got a
bit of a... Did you see on his story today, he has the gearbox out of it, it was on the bench. He said he had a bit of a mishap. So I haven't even asked him how he went, I just seen that this morning. So.
But it's just a quick rundown. It's about as angry as an early-headed 355 gets.
Yeah, it's sick. It's a sick car, eh?
Yeah, 5-speed manual, 9-inch...
Is it 5-speed?
Is it 5 or... Oh, no, it's top loader.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's a top loader.
Top loader, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a pretty grumpy
animal. Fully detailed engine bay, and Ash has done a lot of it himself. Like, he's very, very hands-on, very clever guy.
If you're one of our followers that's been on Aussie V8 forums, and we know there's a lot of you on there, his car's actually on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be able to. It's an orange VK. You'd be able to find it.
Orange or red? Or ready orange?
It's like a burnt orange, maybe?
I'm not sure. I've only ever seen it when it's, like, dusty in the sheds. So yeah. Haven't seen it in all its glory yet.
Nah, super keen though, really looking forward to it. The smooth cruise actually got me thinking, it's gone back to the days, back when, so you owned my ute before I did.
Mm.
2006, you entered in Motivation, and that was back in the day when you just loaded everybody in the back of the ute and you just like made laps down the strip and whatever.
Yeah, as fast as you really almost wanted to go.
Yeah, as fast as
you felt comfortable. Which seems kind of scary now that I'm like a lot older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now they've got what they call a smooth cruise, because obviously for a while there they went, nah, no one's allowed in utes anymore, and fair enough.
Yeah.
Because some of these cars are getting a bit wild. But this smooth cruise will allow people to do it. And I had a thought. I actually had like a vision cruising the smooth cruise with like 8 or 10 people in the back of the ute with Tour Cub shirts on.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to put it out to you guys. If you are coming and you do have Tour Cub merch, please wear it. Come and see us. It'll be 12 o'clock on Saturday is the smooth cruise. So if you came at probably, I don't know, 11:30 or something, or 20 past, quarter past, have a bit of a yarn in that before we go out. And I want to put a whole bunch of you guys in the back of my ute, and you can, if you're someone that doesn't have a mate in the show and you can actually get that experience, then I want to give that to you.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing, it almost ruins those kind of events for you when you have that experience.
Yeah.
Being able to.
Yeah, the next year you'll want to take your own car or go in a buddy's car or something like that.
I'll cruise down the strip or along the cruise route. Particularly, I just remember when I was sitting in the back of what's now my ute, and we went through the underpass and across the start line, you know, for the quarter mile track, and you had all these people down both sides, sort of in the stands watching. That was killer.
Yeah.
Like, and you had just the atmosphere was sick, just being in amongst it. And if I can give that to a couple of the guys that watch the channel, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, there might even be an opportunity for you to jump in one of the other cars as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, that's going to be a good time. February 3rd to 5th. If you're not busy, if you're in the area, if you just happen to be cruising past and go, oh, I might just swing in the motorplex quickly.
Yeah.
That'll be us. But, yeah, smooth cruise, 12 o'clock on Saturday. So come there a bit early and, we want to meet a bunch of you guys and, you know, maybe give you a chance to get on in there, because I reckon like a photo or a video clip of the ute cruising with like Tour Cub shirts all the way through, it would be sick.
Yeah, and if not, just popping over whenever, that's going to be cool, just to catch up with anyone. Yeah. Really, I'm not thinking we're going to venture too far from where we are. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
have a bit of a look.
We've said it before, like when we went to Alice, and that our favorite thing about going to these shows, I mean, seeing the cars and stuff and doing the driving is awesome, but our favorite thing is literally just talking to car dudes about their cars or whatever, and that's what we'll want to spend most of the weekend doing.
Yeah, no, I can't wait.
On to this week's hot topic.
Ooh, what is it going to be?
This week's hot topic.
That's hot.
I don't think it's going to be any great surprise that the hot topic of late, since our last podcast at least, has been Summonats.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Yes, so Summonats 35 kicked off. It's been done now.
The biggest one ever?
The biggest one ever. I couldn't believe when I saw, I think it was on Friday night for Saturday, they were literally, there was social media posts going berserk. Like, if you don't have a spectator ticket now, do not come on Saturday because you won't get in.
Yeah, that is crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy. And to get to that level, like, yeah, there was a bunch of people. There was a whole bunch of cars too, and some sick cars.
Do you know what the numbers are roughly to sell out Summonats, like spectator-wise? I don't know what it would be. It'd have to be a lot. I think it was maybe Summonats 30.
Yeah,
I think, and you know, that was pretty busy back then.
Like, yeah,
that was supposed to be a fairly big one, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what the capacity limit for the grounds is there, but I can't imagine it being probably
it's
less
a big
than
place.
10,000.
Yeah, it's
you
a
know,
big
like
place.
It'd be, we're talking tens of thousands of people for sure.
Yeah,
pretty wild.
And what a rowdy one it was this year, just from the. I mean, I haven't delved into tons and tons of it, but you don't really have to because it's just in your face.
Yeah, I think we're going
to
be able to
and stuff. So
we're going to be able to talk about that for a fair while. So we'll go through some of the official parts of Summonats, and then we'll touch on that after. Grand Champion, polarizing.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, it has to be a car that everyone likes.
Yeah,
it's a popularity contest, not an actual build quality. Judging event. So
the Bogan community was up in arms about it, and you know, like it's one of those things, if you don't like it, then obviously you don't think it deserves to be Grand Champion. But was it 1978 Porsche 911 and an immaculate Porsche it is,
obviously. Yeah, to win that show.
Yeah,
and apparently you drove the wheels off it too, which is it's an important part of that grand champion, you know. Yeah. You've got to be able to drive it, and it's got to be able to handle, and you've got to be not scared to drive it, you know.
So I think that's what got him over the line. I mean, there was obviously other competitors. You know, I watched a couple of the live stream bits and pieces, and XY King, like Simon McDassie, he drives the wheels off that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and gives it hell everywhere. But just because he's, you know, giving it pedal to the metal everywhere doesn't mean he was necessarily good at, say, the Go to Woe or the slalom or the grass events.
Well, he might have been nudged out by like a split second.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be a huge margin. Like, winning's winning, and losing's losing or missing out, you know. So
exactly. All when it comes to sort of panel and paint and fit and finish, I think all of those top 10 cars, you know, they'd be hard to split in today's day and age. The quality of workmanship. There's obviously some people that are better than others, but once you get to like some of those top 10, there'd be hairs in it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, they'd be really starting to like split whiskers, like, you know, like things that aren't even an issue, but like you've got to take it to that point to get it some sort of, you know, difference there. So
I think, yeah, the driving events is probably where it's made, you know, that's make or break. And that's where it is. I personally don't, that's not my kind of car. I'm not upset that it won though. Because
I couldn't get further away from being interested in that particular type of car. I don't even know anything about any Porsches or anything like that, but you've just got to go off what you're judging. Like, you know, you've just got to go off the criteria. There's plenty of other trophies and awards for other things, you know what I mean? There's this thing called People's Choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, people need to worry about that instead. Yeah. So
the People's Choice went to Howard Astle's XC.
Yeah.
That was a lot of that had YouTube exposure on the lead.
I was actually thinking about that. I wonder if that was like a clear advantage just out of the pure exposure leading up to it, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people could get invested in it and, you know, for the same reason, want to go and catch up with Howard or go and see the car in person because they've been watching it over the last 18 months or whatever it is on YouTube. You know, that could be a clear advantage, and it might be something that plays into that award pushing forward, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. It could be.
And, you know...
And now I'm not taking anything away. I'm not saying that's why it is or why it isn't, but it was a thought that popped into my head, and I thought, I wonder if that did have some sort of swing, which it could be.
You couldn't imagine that it wouldn't. Like, you know, there would be votes polled based on that, but with that being said, like you say, not to take anything away from it.
Absolutely not.
As far as elite builds goes, Howard Astle is... You know.
Well, he's done a fantastic job of actually showcasing what goes into doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all of us probably wouldn't know. Unless you've built a car like that, you're not going to know.
No.
And it's good. You can pick off little tidbits for your own project as well. Like, you know, we'll never build a car like that. Well, I don't have any desire to, but it still doesn't mean that you can't pull little ideas here and there and just, you know, molded into your own version. So
I'd certainly grab inspiration. Obviously my build on the VHs evolved into a beast far greater than it was ever meant to, but I do grab some of the inspirations of some of these elite vehicles and go, that's, you know, that little bit I wouldn't mind doing that. But
we all draw our own lines, where it's not fun anymore or whatever, or maybe the time factor is just too far gone, you know. So
yeah, and you got to be realistic about what you're building as well. If you want to build a street car, like, we want to drive our cars on the street semi-regularly, and you've got to have a managed expectation to do an elite vehicle like that and to keep it at that level. I mean, as it was, I think, what was it, 9 months of work for XY King, and I'm sure it was for a lot of them, but he's a dude that I follow on the socials, obviously, because we were referencing his car a lot when we were building our XY. But so he stripped that car down to next to nothing, and, you know, there's a lot of paint touch up and engine refreshed and re-chroming and repolishing, and there was 9 months worth of work to get what was already an elite car
next level, to a
grand champion contender.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But speaking of amazing vehicles with a lot of months gone into it, Tim Laidler's VL broke the internet.
It shook me, and I don't often get shook, especially not over like a Commodore or something like that, even though they're sort of my vehicle of choice, but it was just something about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what it is, but it's probably just a combination of everything. The wheels, the stance, the like just everything was just enough.
Yeah.
In the right proportions.
Yeah, it was a it is a beautiful car. Tim, we know you're listening because you are an avid follower and you comment on all of our stuff and whatever. So congratulations to you, dude.
That, absolutely, yeah. Well deserved for the reception it got.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was a real emotion that as soon as I seen it,
you went, whoa.
I was shook. Yeah. I was just like, fuck. Just, and I forgot SV88s were even a thing. Like, there used to be one local here back when I first sort of had the ute, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing it then, and he sort of brought it back into, like, you don't, you know, you see heaps of walkies, you know, you see heaps of Group A's and Blue Meanies and that, but have you ever seen an SV88?
Not in recent times.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, so I wouldn't be surprised if he started something, like someone else has gone, you know what, I want to do my own version of that, because even me, I was like, damn, I'm a pretty big VL fan. I do like VLs when they're done a particular way, and I always thought if I did a VL, it'd probably just be a white over silver Calais, or maybe a black over silver, but after seeing that, I'm like, damn, I would love to have something like that. Not necessarily driveline wise or anything like that, but just the way he's done it, the stance and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, real, really good.
Driveline though, big block Chev, 1471 blower, massive carbon fiber hat. That thing just commands attention.
I don't think you can get... What could you do that would be any more in your face than that? Like, be real, what could you do? Yeah. I couldn't think of anything that
it
you could do.
It smacks you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got impact.
Yeah.
It really does have impact.
Yeah.
It'll be great to see when he actually starts driving it and whatever. There was a 9-month build process. Obviously the car probably started getting built a long time ago, but then it evolved, but the build, let's call it like the final build or the final iteration, that was like 9 months of just thrashing.
Yeah.
And
which seems crazy to me. That doesn't seem like a lot of time for something like that.
No.
You need all your ducks in a row to be pulling something like that off.
Absolutely. Yeah. They would have had a project manager and all kinds just to pull that off. Yeah. And I know that, Picnic Media is going to release a full build documentary on that.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, you know, Tim's part of the Picnic Media crew.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting to watch. I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that will be good.
Mm.
But it's interesting as well that, because it is a point of difference, this car, but also it's not just going to be like for skids or for just for, he's actually going to race this thing. Like, that's sort of what he's built it for in a way and set it up. So it'd be cool to actually see it with some tires, you know, some welds on it or whatever, and actually like performing.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be cool to see it out sort of doing laps at Power Cruise and, you know, like hosing the straight and all that, and actually, doing some racing with it. I could only imagine, he might have some interest to do. Obviously Power Cruise have started their Street Outlaws Australia sort of thing, whether he wants to do something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a sick car, man. And yeah,
a credit to all involved. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've established well enough since the last one that I'm not a VL dude, but that one,
just hit different.
It does, yeah, absolutely. The Skid Factory were there. I haven't seen any of their social media stuff yet or videos. I'm sure they're coming, but I did hear poor Al's Crown blew the torque converter.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that I would have seen a fair bit of it through the socials. Obviously, they've got quite a following. They're good at what they do. But then to see a picture of it on the back of a flatbed and for Al to sort of go, yeah, nah, torque converter wasn't happy. That sucks.
Yeah, okay.
Poor dude.
That's a bit of a bummer, but, you know, at least it's just a torque converter. There's always worse things that can happen than that.
That's right, yeah. And it is a fresh build. He's still probably going through the teething issues, you know. Yeah. Like, we can certainly attest to building a car and then having 12 months worth of problems.
You expect it. Yeah. I do. I expect it for sure.
Yeah. So if that's all it is, fingers crossed for you, Al. Hopefully that's all it is. Local fella, Aiden Stampalia. What a story. The Tirana that was found in Bali, shipped to Perth, and over about 3 months, although the social media catch was an 18-day build, but it was a bare shell and then finished in 18 days, like with paint and everything, but he'd been doing a lot of fab previous. But that dude has a work ethic like no other.
Yeah, he might have some sort of mental illness to want to be taken on these sorts of projects like that, because that is just heavy. I just couldn't even imagine putting myself, like you said, he's just laid it out there and he's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking make this happen. And yep. He just did it.
And he did.
And that's, yeah, it's an inspiration, really.
He's a dude that I'd like to get on the podcast at some point, because it's not the first time that he's done that either. You know, like he's thrashed to get a car together in a few weeks and, you know, driven from Perth to Canberra in 3 days to be there for a wild card.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
But the car looked sick. It didn't have the engine in it that was meant to. It was getting an R5 P7 Dodge NASCAR engine originally, which BNR were preparing. And then they had a hard part sort of failure on the dyno, and it's something that can't be predicted. It can't be, prevented or whatever.
Like they say, shit happens.
Yeah. Did some minor damage to the engine, and although it was minor, there was only a couple of days until someone else.
Look, dude, when you're on that much of a tight schedule, everything needs to line up perfectly.
Right. I think as it was, he was probably going to be picking up the engine on the way to someone else, putting it in and doing it. But yeah, the engine didn't make it. Borrowed a blown LS from a mate so they could get the thing going.
Yeah.
The crew of guys that he had around him to pull it off. Obviously, the car was at his mate's shed. When he was on break, he was like sleeping in a swag next to the car.
That is just commitment on another level, isn't it?
Like I say, work ethic like no other.
Yeah, he loves it. He obviously loves it.
It's a ripper build. There's a lot of cool details in it. And I'd love to get him on one day maybe, and he could share his story. And, both that and the previous build as well. That'd be cool. But we've sort of touched on it. The content that came out of Summonats. Instagram was running hot.
Oh, yes.
The Instagram stories were lit.
Yeah, there was some rowdiness going on, that's for sure. There's, I think some people had some steam to blow off. That's for sure. So
we got some killer coverage through your normal channels, through Summonats, Street Machine, Picnic Media did some daily uploads, which were awesome. Winging It Motorsports, got the shirt on. They did daily uploads as well while they were there. There was no shortage of, missing the action or whatever. But, yeah, let's call it the After Dark. Summonats After Dark.
Yeah.
That was the stuff that really caught people's attention. And I think it's probably the stuff that's maybe highlighting the event for, dare I say, the wrong reasons. And don't get me wrong, I think that Summonats has more or less always been that way to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But we're in an age now where everyone has a high definition camera in their pocket, and you can get that same thing on 10 different angles uploaded at the same time instantly, so long as you got reception, which apparently was a problem. Now the general public catch hold of that, because before, if you weren't a car guy, you probably wouldn't have known. You would have just been oblivious to it. But now it gets blown up and everyone can see it.
Yeah. And it's seen in a negative light too. And I can see why, it's too much of a good thing is not always a good thing. You know what I mean? Because with groups that big, everyone starts feeding off each other and, mix alcohol, drugs and everything else. And it's not a good recipe for a show like that for its longevity. You know what I mean? Like it only take... one bad thing and next minute the council just shuts it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's just...
Or the police. Forever. The police just go, nah.
Well, the police would have shut it down if they could have on it. Like if you seen the one where I think they were on a street just away from it and not even the police could handle that sort of stuff. So it got a bit out of hand.
Yeah, the pack mentality, like mob mentality, that once that sets in and you get people, like say, you feed off the bloke next to you and then you elevate, and then before you know it, it's a wild fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not good for the car community just as a general, you know what I mean?
It's not a good look.
You get the snippets on the news. I mean, I don't watch the news, I haven't watched it for many years, but I'm sure a lot of people that watch whatever was on the news would have been like, look at these just Darrows, and you know what I mean? It's just not a good look.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you're driving down the road in your modified car and you're just tarred with that brush of just being the fucking Darrow that was, you know, blocking the cops and doing skids on the road. And
yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? It's sort of...
Like I say, I think Summonats has always... I haven't been to Summonats. You have.
Mm.
I haven't been to a Summonats yet, but I could only imagine that it's had elements of that since day dot.
Yeah, I think it was fairly tame the last... Since the new ownership have taken it over, it was sort of tamed down. Even when I was there, it was kind of tame to previous years, but maybe just because of the, just so many people, it sort of just, like you said, that mob mentality, and it just... Everyone, you just... thrive off it, you know.
Yeah.
It just builds from it. Sort of like you have to be there to understand.
It probably would have been sick to be there.
Yeah,
yeah. Like to from the outside looking in, it's easy to be like, oh, how ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if you were there, you would just be like,
yeah. I'm in two minds about it. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I don't want to see it, and I think everyone that does that's like a fuckwit. But you've got to look at it from both angles, you know. Like, yeah.
I mean, it's
it would have been good to be there and experience it, but. Once it's done, the damage it does to just the scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
In the long run, probably not. Especially not with how PC everything is these days. Like, it's not always the move.
The whole idea of the event is to give the avenue for people to let off that steam.
Mm.
So, like, that's always going to be a thing. Like you said, I'm neither here nor there with it. Like, it would have been cool there to experience it, but being that I wasn't, I can only see what I've seen. My only fear is how it's going to affect the event moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's going to happen next year?
Yeah.
What implications is that going to have on the event long term? You know, like...
I couldn't imagine to be positive, really.
Well, I mean, Australia's a nanny state as it is.
Yeah, you know? Especially where that show's held, you couldn't get any worse, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's only two things you go to Canberra for, Parliament House and Summonats.
Yeah.
And who's going there for Parliament House?
No. Let's not even go down that road.
That's it. But from here, there's probably a couple of things that got your goat.
You know what really grinds my gears? Running on the chip.
On the chip. Well, there were plenty of cars running on the chip. But in a metaphorical sense, there was definitely some videos that highlighted the crowd getting a little bit handsy.
Yeah. Taking it a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for trying to G up a bloke to do a skid and bit of verbal encouragement, but when you start reaching out, grabbing rear quarters, man, when my car's done, if someone reaches out and starts yanking on my new old stock rear quarters that have been perfectly grafted on there, I will be livid. My goodness. Like, stuff like that, when you've, you know, I don't think people quite understand that the time and the money and investment that some of these people have in these cars. And then to see, I think, well, McFry, shout out Nelson, he posted a thing on TikTok where there was an RX3 building boost on the brake and there's someone like yanking on the rear quarters going like, yeah, get the tires going.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like it's a VL that's boost loading.
Yeah.
He's on the trans brake. Those tires ain't going to move.
Yeah. Like, with any luck, your hand will get stuck or something like that, yeah.
Man, that is one way to lose
a lot of
fingers.
These people are just going there for the party, I would assume. Like, because the car scene's fairly small. Like, we think that everyone likes cars, but in reality, there's only a very small proportion of the country that are heavily into this stuff. And the rest
passionate.
Are just there for the party
and
the carry-on, you know what I mean? So they're the sort of ones that are going to be doing that sort of shit, really, I would assume.
And then also to see one bloke, same thing, it was highlighted, it was by Nelson in a post, someone reaching over the bonnet of a mechanically injected blown car and yanking the throttle.
Yeah.
Holy. Like, could you imagine, there was a whole bunch of people standing around that car. Obviously, the driver's pretty hard on the brake at the time, but that could be a potentially 1,000 horsepower combo. You're just reaching over while the driver's maybe having a chat out his window or whatever and just yanging the throttle.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine what, like, Summonat's insurance providers would be thinking when they see all this shit and they'll be just like, you know what, guys? No. We're not doing this anymore because, fuck, there are some people crowded around there, like...
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong, though, right? Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, we've seen in previous years people's throttles getting hung open and crashing into to each other. All that's going to take, because until you go there, you don't really realise it's not just all the yahoos that are, like, on the street. Like, you've got to cross the street to get to different spots. So it could be old love pushing a pram, you know what I mean? And, like, someone's just grabbing hold of the throttle and next minute you're getting pinned between two cars or whatever. Like, it can happen like that. So
yeah.
I don't know. Moral of the story, don't fucking touch someone else's car.
Yeah, don't.
Ever. Like, just ever. Especially not when it's running and moving and there's just, you know, 20 people all around it. Like, pull your head in, bro.
Yeah, that's it. That was literally my reaction when I saw that video. I was just like, come on, man. Use your noggin. Like, that. I'm all for, like I say, playing games and getting someone G'd up, but that's just retarded.
Yeah, I did see a funny one, though, to change the tune a little bit.
Go for it.
Did you see the fella? He had a couple too many drinks of the alcoholic variety.
Oh,
and
I did see this. Yes.
He was just falling backwards. His balance wasn't on point, and he just kept staggering back to the point where he's gone ass up. And he's hit. I shouldn't laugh because the dude's car that he hit copped a bit of damage, like a good solid dent. But yeah, he's cracked his head on the side of this car. I'm not sure what it was.
I think it was a red RX-7.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember it was red. And I reckon his melon would have been hurting a bit after that. And I think old mate was not impressed by the huge dent in the side of his car. So there's plenty of that shit that goes on as well. So.
Yeah.
But that one was a bit more lighthearted. It was an accident, but yeah, it was funny to watch.
One too many sherbets.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
Look, it's a bad combo, like middle of the day, stinking hot.
Oh, yeah.
Probably hadn't had a drink of water for 3 days.
Hey, there's water in beer.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I drink it.
Yeah, water so. In
beer. But, it was a pretty funny stumble. Lucky the bloke didn't hurt himself because... Obviously, there are people that have done some serious damage to themselves with that kind of stumble, but yeah, it looks like he was all right. So we can talk about it. Moving on from Summonats, we've probably had a long enough yarn about that.
Although, I do want to touch on one more thing that I thought was real impressive.
Please do.
Was the dyno competition.
Oh, yes.
Not necessarily any of the boosted stuff. I mean, we're all pretty jaded to making 1,000,000 horsepower these days with EFI and... all that cool stuff, turbos and blowers, but...
The winner this year, outright winner, 1,600 horsepower, turned down.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that car do 2,000 plus.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not to take anything away from the build because All Star Garage have done a banger job on that VE touring wagon. But, yeah, like, you turn it down, you get 1,600, you walk away with the trophy. That's just, like, a little bit anticlimactic.
We're just jaded. We're just so jaded to it because there's just so much of that now.
What happened to the days where people were literally like, they'd be going toe-to-toe. So it's like you put one car on the dyno, he'd make a hit, and then old mate would be like, oh, he beat me by 20. Load it back on again.
Yeah.
And then they put an extra 2 pounds of boost in and they have another crack.
I do remember that era where there was just like people building, you know, the try-hard era.
Yeah.
And the...
Low 402.
Yeah. What was his name?
Mr. Horsepower.
Yeah. Was it Lyle Lavery or someone like that? I might be getting my names mixed up. But yeah, there was a few guys there that were just building purpose-built cars just for that to go head-to-head. It was a good part of the scene, I think, back then.
Yeah.
But one thing that I thought was pretty impressive was... Now, I'm going to stuff this up because I haven't quite remembered it, but it was the Slant 6 that won the naturally aspirated...
It was a Chrysler Centura.
Yeah. It was like a 320 cube stroked slant six.
Yeah.
Naturally aspirated, making like 440 something horsepower to the ground, which was that's very impressive.
440 horsepower from a straight six. I mean, yeah, it's a big capacity. What's 320 cube?
5.2 liters, I think.
Yeah, 5.2, 5.3, something like that.
Yeah.
But my goodness,
yeah,
six pot. That's a heavy hitter.
Yeah, there's something to be said for making horsepower naturally aspirated. Like it, there's just something to be said. It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. No. Sometimes you need to rebuild, you know, a completely different combo just to get that extra, you know, 10 or 20 or whatever. You know, it doesn't come easy. So it's really good to see people still going down that route, you know, because yeah. I'm sure the fella could have just done a turbo kit on that thing and, yeah, he would have made more, but, you know, is it as impressive?
Yeah.
Probably
He probably would have made 500 with a turbo and it would have been way more docile and easier to drive and a lot less maintenance or whatever. But, man, to have a 440 horsepower Aspo 6 pot.
Mm.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's sick. So I just wanted to mention that because I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, good and shit. It wasn't a Barra, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Although I think there was an NA Barra that did pretty well as well. Yeah, I think that was, who was it, Max Performance?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And that's cool. That was cool too. He's done a real good job of that. And I think I do believe they're going to tear that down and go, because I think that's more of like a nitrous combination.
Right.
So I think, I remember reading somewhere that he said he was going to maybe tear it down and go for, you know, do what these guys would have done.
Balls out aspirated.
Yeah, yeah. They've gone the full naturally aspirated route because, yeah, with nitrous, it's different again.
Yeah, so. That's right.
So it's cool. It's cool to see things. Things make a turn, just like anything in life. You get to a certain point where it's sort of jaded and then you'll go the other way and, you know.
It's a rack of circle.
Yeah, so.
Cool. So you're done with Summonats then?
Yeah, mate. That cool is bananas. More than enough.
Next thing I wanted to touch on was No Prep Kings. We mentioned it in the last episode. Tickets did go on sale shortly after, and I don't think anyone was ready for what that was. The cost of tickets to go, I think everyone knew it wasn't going to be the same.
It didn't even cross my mind. You just think it's going to be your usual sort of, you know what I mean? Like,
I presumed that it was going to be more than like, say, a silver ticket or a gold ticket to an Andrew event.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
To come out with, I think I priced up to go Friday and Saturday. You'd want a VIP all access because that gives you access to the pits. So this isn't without premier seating or anything, but if you had the all access pass for Friday and Saturday, by the time, so you got your ticket price and then you've got service tax and then a sales tax and then they put an international tax on it, for me to go with a tank of fuel and a burger and a Coke, I'm looking at $500
yeah.
Australian
yeah.
for those 2 days. So for the two of us to go, it's $1,000.
Yeah.
That's definitely testing my willingness.
Yeah. We need to pump them numbers up, that Tour Cup turnover, bro. We need.
Man, the Tour Cup turnover would be lucky to pay for that burger and Coke.
Yeah. Rightfully so too, let's True. Be honest.
Yeah. But man, yeah, when, because I was pretty G'd up, you know, like I was pretty keen to go. I still am keen to go.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be there. We need to get that sorted soon though.
Yes, yeah, because from what I can tell, tickets are going fast.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about it. I've been that busy doing
That's
this.
Right, we've been a bit distracted.
I haven't even sorted out the other stuff I need to sort out for this. It's sort of just been tunnel vision on that. And I've heard about prices, had a quick look, but it's just, we'll get there soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully they don't sell out before then.
Yeah.
Which the price being as high as it is might help that a little.
I think so, yeah. Even the grass tickets weren't exactly cheap because, yeah, like the advertised price when you go onto the website, then you realize that's all in US dollars.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, it looks semi-reasonable. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like $100 to get in. And then, oh, that's
Yeah, US. That's right. Our exchange rate is dog shit. That's yeah. right.
And if you don't buy a VIP ticket, then you've got to spend $20 US on parking. The VIP tickets include parking, but anything less than VIP doesn't.
So it seems rough. It seems pretty rough.
It does seem
because like you can park at that place for free any other normal time. Like I get it, you get the VIP parking where you pay a little bit.
Yeah.
Whatever. But like these guys are just taking over the car park too, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, bloke. Fair suck of the sav there, mate. Like,
yeah,
take it easy.
And that's not to say that this isn't an expensive venture for them. Obviously, there'd be a lot of costs involved, but man, they are definitely going to be making a mozza out of this if it does as well as you think it will. And I'm pretty sure, like, tickets in Melbourne and Willowbank, there's certain tickets that are already sold out.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
Like, they're certainly going to do well from sales out of it. But, yeah, I don't know. When the price came out, it definitely made me second guess. I still want to go.
Yeah. I just don't want to be let down. Like, I'm not sure how much they're going to be laying it down and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I don't know. It should be good. I mean, we can just, all we got to do is commit to it and just see. And then once we've been, we'll know.
Yeah. So, off the back of that, we mentioned, when we mentioned No Prep Kings last time, you mentioned in particular, someone should buy the Tirana from Black Magic Racing and do something with it.
Yeah.
So, that's gotten back to Black Magic and kind of got the gears turning in the old noggin.
Yeah.
And I think, unintentionally, but, you know, we'll take the credit for it, we've convinced them
that's a frigging good idea.
Yep. So they've pulled the Tirana out of mothballs. Jeff Black has got in contact with us. Legend of a bloke too, by the way. And he said, yep, you talked me into it, boys. We're doing it. 6 weeks from start to finish. So they've pulled it out of mothballs as a roller. 6 weeks, they're putting a full drive line in it, wiring, fuel system, getting it ready to go. So I won't spill the beans on the combo just because don't want to do the wrong thing.
No, and that's not really important at this point.
Nah,
the fact is they're doing it, and that's awesome.
It looks like it's going to make potential's there to make 1,600, 1,800 odd horsepower.
Yeah.
Reasonably comfortably.
Yeah.
And it's going to be light.
Yeah, I was going to say the real feather in their cap is obviously they build race cars for a living, and obviously a part of building good race cars is you can make them really light.
Yeah.
So,
and they're setting it up on a small tire. Actually, they're chasing tires. So if you know anyone that has a Mickey Thompson 3055 or 3055 S tire, they need them to go racing. Can't be a W.
No
tire.
W.
No W.
No W.
28.10.5. No W.
So yeah, I'm excited to see that, and we might even see some test rips at Motivation. So if that's the case, that'd be awesome.
Potentially, yeah. I know he did say it is going to be ready for testing late January. So yeah it'd be cool because they are doing some eighth mile racing at Motivation. It'd be cool if it's there.
Yeah. And it's the perfect time too because the surface is just ripped up from street tires. So, that's where you need to be, you know?
That's right.
And one thing I thought, and I hope I'm not going off on a tangent too quick, but I wonder if this show coming starts that ball rolling with just people wanting to do this No Prep stuff, like start a series, or, you know, just like how we've got the radial, the radial red versus blue and stuff like that that we're,
so you're thinking
we've got
like,
going over here. But I'm just wondering. I just thought, well, because it's not a thing over here. People, we don't really do that here. Not over here anyway, you know. So,
well, I guess over there, obviously, it was the street, you know, like over there, they got the wicked street car culture. But then obviously there was the back of the track racing.
Yeah.
Well, they're starting at the finish line and working back. Do you think that's what you're talking about?
It could
about?
Be, yeah. Well, that's what I mean, because everyone's sort of jumping on board and doing it. And if this could be a yearly thing, they could come over like a tour every year around this time and do it, you know? So if that's the case, if this isn't a one-off and more people start building cars for this purpose, and then obviously you're going to want to do your testing and stuff like that.
Yeah. So they're going to have
who knows?
No prep cars.
Potentially, I don't know. I just thought maybe this could start something, and people just want to do that, you know, instead of doing the radial thing or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
we will see.
Yeah, I mean, if you run,
but I had a thought. If I had to put money on it, I would say that it could be potentially the start of that sort of no prep thing taking off in Australia. Which any sort of racing is good when you're buying parts, spending money, and doing it yourself or paying people, it's all good.
And I think that's, the one thing that I'm pretty stoked about with this whole event coming here is that it's bringing a whole new demographic of people to the track that normally wouldn't come to the track.
Yeah.
And then who knows, that one time that they come to the track, that could turn them around.
You know,
like that's going to give birth to a new kid that wants to be racing, you know, which is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I never thought of that, but yeah, you're right. That could, because I think that show's been around a long time now. I'm not sure. Is it over 10 years?
Yeah,
well
over 10 years.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's a very well-established show. So, and I think it's done wonders even in America as far as getting bums on seats at racetracks and stuff like that, because I think the NHRA, a lot of their sort of racing was getting a bit stagnant there for a while, you know.
Well, Lord knows there's been a lot of track closures over there.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing the same thing here where tracks are going a bit stale and, you know, trying to breathe life in. So yeah. if this works, then...
Yes, because, you know, with the no prep thing, it's not necessarily always about who can make the absolute most horsepower, you know. It's sort of management. It sort of starts bringing it back to the more, you know, you can use your noggin a bit more. If you're a clever guy and you can do a lot of stuff yourself, you don't need that money to have that combination that makes 2,500 horsepower to run with these guys. You might be able to do it with, like you said, 1,600, but really be able to get it down.
Yeah.
And it just sort of makes it more inviting for people, you know, because no one wants to go to the track like undergunned to the point where you've just got no chance whatsoever.
No.
Like it's just, because it's always going to cost you a bit to get there at whatever level.
Yeah.
So.
There's only
so you give long. A bloke a fighting chance, you know.
There's only so long getting kicked like a puppy is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It'll be a good thing. Like I say, we'll end up there one way or another. If someone's got a hook up on tickets, or if you want us to be on your pit crew, I can change spark plugs. Actually, I'm proficient at burning my hand while changing spark plugs. So if that's something you don't want to do, then.
If there's no one on your crew that can wreck stuff, this bloke here, he's good at wrecking stuff. I'm not bad, but you can show me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, it's a talent.
Yeah.
You'd have to get plenty more work, you know, a lot of practice.
I might get there one day.
But call-outs, so the Black Magic guys have called out Murder Nova with that Tirana, which would be cool because it's a matte black Tirana. They call blackout, so two matte black cars, hatchbacks. Be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's
been a lot of call outs, and I correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I'm pretty sure maybe like the Street Outlaws people in America, like the actual Pilgrim organization, Productions. That I think the word's been put out that they, if you want to be on the show, like you kind of had to do a call out. Like you could, I've watched a lot of them. I haven't seen all of them, but I've only seen a few, and you can see some of them are very forced. Like it's a very forced call out. You can tell that they're like me. They don't really want to be on camera, but that's just what they sort of want. And I get it. They're trying to build the hype up a bit and sort of get some rivalry going on, even though there's no real rivalry there. But it's going to be cool to see. I think one of the groups I joined, I can't even remember what it's called now. It's Street Outlaws Australia or something. Then Big Country, Corey Swanstrom's old boy's on there just stirring the pot up like something cruel. So
Justin Swanstrom's old boy, Corey. Yeah.
Sorry, that's right. Yeah, I'm getting muddled up. So, yeah, it was cool to see him just stirring up, all in good nature. Like.
And I'm enjoying seeing the lip coming out of some of the local blokes, you know, just sticking it to the TV. Like,
oh, look, man.
If they're coming over here.
Yeah, if there's anything Aussies are, like, known for, man, it's been, like, larrikins and not really... You know, we can shoot shit with the best of them or talk shit with the best of them. So, and nothing's really going to bother us, you know what I mean?
Guns.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think once they get over here, they'll realize how unbothered anyone's going to be with anything they say. So,
I think it's going to be funny, like, if they, because obviously it doesn't take much to go too far on the keyboard, you know, like, and
if
someone takes offense, and obviously, you know, these guys have been on TV and that they've probably heard it all before. But it'll be interesting to see the reaction when they actually see that bloke in person and realise that it was just a total piss take.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah, no feathers will be getting ruffled, that's for sure.
Nah.
Not until people start losing, maybe. I'm not sure. There's a bit of money getting thrown around, so
yeah. Just a little something to add some spice to the call-out video. But it's good to see some of the cars that are sort of being pulled out of mothballs that are like, hey, yeah, come on. And, you know, people with... blown burnout cars that are saying, I'll slap a small tire on it, have a crack.
Yeah,
you
know, okay.
Like there's a lot of people that are getting amongst it. Minsa's going to join the procession, I'm guessing, in Sydney. You know, like there's Paramount Performance. They're going to throw their Commodore down. I'm seeing, you know, just like I say, there's been heaps of videos coming out and they're coming out thick and fast. And
yeah.
People are just calling out people left, right, and center. Simon O'Candles, he's going to throw a small tire on. That car runs 235s.
Yeah.
So to put a 28.10.5 on, I'm pretty sure that car already ran a 28.10.5 slick in a past life.
Yeah.
So,
it's good to see cars getting out and getting, you know.
It's great.
Some reinvigoration there.
Yeah. What I'm liking is that they're actually going to use the local dudes against them. They're not just bringing their set roster, and then they've got their own matchups, and they're doing that, you know, like they're actually bringing the cars to Australia and they're racing local Australians.
Yeah.
You know, like the Galotto's Fox Body, and I'm assuming B.A. Baracus will be out there. Tony Mazzatelli's Malou. You know, there's a couple of real heavy hitters from the local scene that are going to step up and have a crack. And that's what I'm keen to see.
I feel like we're on the back foot because, like I said before, it's not really something that anyone really does here that I've noticed. It's not big over here. So, you know, even if we're on the back foot this year, if it keeps coming around, you know, it could get really good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Because who
knows?
To see.
Yeah, who knows what they're going to do on the show? Because they've still got to make a show out of this. Absolutely, you remember?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with like the climate, the temperature, the tracks. Like obviously over here, all that's going to be different. And I'm sure they've got ways and strategies to account for it. But it'll be interesting to see just how much that can throw a professional outfit.
Yeah. I think they'll be impressed with the build quality of the cars because Australia is known for, like, building top quality. You know, we have good trades and good, you know, people that really know how to do elite level shit. So I think they'll be surprised at just how nice the vehicles are themselves.
Yeah.
But the results will be what they are. Yeah. So
it's going to be a show anyway.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. That's pretty much it for that.
Yeah.
I think we've
gone on enough about that.
Gone on enough. Let's go into something a little bit more lighthearted, a bit funny.
Marketplace morons.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Our marketplace morons. I came across a cracker the other week. I got to get it out because I screenshotted it on my phone. Every now and again, I change the location on my marketplace because obviously it's got like a 200k radius, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And so if I want to see if there's... That's kind of... People sort of go, oh, how'd you find all these new old stock parts or whatever? That's kind of how I did it. I'd like change my location to, you know, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, whatever, and I'd start trawling their marketplace to see what goes down, you know? And I came across in Parramatta. Shout out Parramatta. Lovely lady called Pamela Reed. We talked about old mate, he was renting his front Verge and how, you know, the local economy's probably doing a number on him. Well, old love has advertised cheap BJs. I have removable teeth. Get that
in. Are you for real?
I am. Here it is. Hey, guys, just trying to make some money on the side. Hit me up. I give really good, cheap BJs. Great service. I have removable teeth. That is a thing.
That's someone stitching someone up for sure.
You'd hope so. You'd hope so. But to see that on Marketplace really brightened what was actually a pretty average day.
Did that say $50?
$50.
That's a worry.
Well, she said cheap. Well, actually, she did say very good. I do really good. I don't know. I'd be dubious on the good.
who's the moron, the lady putting it up or the bloke that actually goes for it?
Could you imagine if it is a stitch up, just how many blokes have jumped on there?
I'm sure someone would, like, in the group of friends, would it look, someone's going to have to take one for the team, see if this is real or not, if this is a piss take. That's a cracker.
Yeah.
That is a cracker.
You don't come across something like that every day.
Look,
if you do, you think it'd be taken down quick smart. But, I mean, for me to, like I say, I changed my location on Marketplace, and I don't do it super regularly, but, I don't think that was a fresh post.
Well, like you said on the last one, you've got to appreciate the hustle. She's gone for that really niche market.
Yeah.
So, good luck to her.
So, if you're in Parramatta, hit up Pamela.
Yeah. Pam will sort you out.
That's it. I'll love
Pam. And she's not going to break your bank.
Yeah, and she ain't going to mark your shaft either because she got removable teeth.
Oh, dear.
Nothing worse than going for an inspection and seeing a score on your shaft.
Stop it. You're an animal. Moving on.
Moving on,
Jeff, yeah.
Did you have another ear?
Nah, I thought I did, but nah. Mate, I've just been that busy doing the things we've already said that I haven't even had a chance to relax have a look. So
there was another interesting one from overseas, actually, that I saw. It was a K-Swap Ferrari. This thing had a K20. I think it was a 76, 75 turbo, maybe, which is a big turbo for a 2-litre. 1,030 wheel horsepower. and it was a convertible.
In a Fez?
In a Fez, yeah. Wow. 1,030, 50 grand US. It's actually in Canada.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting. Obviously, Stanceworks has done one. I think that was a different... I don't think that was a K20, though. I think that might have been a K26.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just guessing, because I actually haven't really followed the series. I did see one video, though. But, yeah, it's a red... I think it was a 355 convertible. Legit Fez. It wasn't like it was a Fiat with a body kit or anything. It was it was the real deal. So, yeah.
Just a feather ruffler.
Mm.
I'm sure they're like the purest Ferrari guys are probably like 10 times worse than like, say, your XY, like GT, like enthusiasts or whatever, you know what I mean?
We hear of those guys that sort of do the supercar YouTube channels or whatever, and they put wide body kits and this and that, and they get cease and desist letters from Ferrari.
Yeah.
So you could only imagine that someone doing something like that, they're probably getting a similar thing.
Yeah, because people just think that you've got to modify a car the way that they want it to.
Yeah. Well, Ferrari don't want you to modify it. Yeah. They produce automotive perfection.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But even the enthusiast of that, they will carry along with that too. So.
Yeah.
And that just reminded me, I got a screenshot just before we started, actually. It was I'm not going to say the page name, but it was a guy that has a page with 80s and 90s stuff. And it had Timmy Laidler's VL on there. And he was saying that he would prefer it if it was stock. And. Whether it be worth more or not. So well, I think sometimes people forget what cars are to people.
Yeah.
It's your own thing. So if you're modifying it and you think it's or someone else thinks you're devaluing it, so what? Let the bloke molest his car. Like it's not your car.
Man,
rightfully or wrongly, just you know what I mean?
You see these GDHOs or whatever, like, you know, there was that coop that was in a chicken coop, you know, like stuff like that. These cars at one point or another were worth nothing. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure Tim probably bought this when it wasn't worth what it is today. And sure, if you came across one now, you'd probably want to keep it original.
It just depends. There's people out there that have money to pay the top dollar for one, and if they want to modify it from that point on, it's their money.
Yeah. I mean,
let a bloke just be happy and do what he wants to do. Don't just think because you can't scrape together the funds to buy that that someone else that can and then still doesn't care to modify from that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't subscribe to it, but I can understand the mindset of if you're going to do that, do a mock-up. You know, start with an executive and
do it that way.
But at the same time, then you've got people who will be like, well, now you've just ruined an executive. That was a perfectly good executive.
But there's still something to be said to the fact that Tim's is a proper SV88. That doesn't take away from it. That adds to it.
I think
just
so too.
Just like people that have...
Yeah.
I can't think of anything in particular, but I know there's walkies out there that are genuine walkies that people have modified the
put blowers
fuck
on them.
Out of.
Yeah.
Like, it adds to it. It adds another inch at least. Another inch at least. For real, it does. Yeah. So like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
And don't piss and moan because it's not how you want to do it. So many people think that it needs to be their way.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, yeah, it's a special car and, you know, it would be special as a stock car in a restored form, but it's even more amazing the way it sits now.
That's what he wanted to do and he fucking did it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Had a vision, shot for the stars and probably went way past that and into the next galaxy. And
it's not easy to have a good vision. Like, you can have all the money in the world and be able to buy all the sickest parts, but that doesn't mean that you can build a car that has an impact. You know what I mean? It needs to all fall together and work. And yeah, good on him.
It's like anything. It's a recipe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello.
Blow a wine. Here we go. It's a funny one. I used to listen to Power and Speed, and that Mike fella, he was obviously like some, you know, electrical computer guru or whatever. And he used to always whinge, because that was a live stream show as well. And he's like, I spent a lot of money getting this call thing so you can ring in. And every episode he'd give out the number, like, here's the number, call in during the show, and no one ever would.
Yeah.
And he'd get the shits on. And I almost feel like that. We went to a lot of effort to find a service where people can call in, and it's been pretty quiet. But we did get one in today on the death knot.
I haven't heard it yet, so I'm interested. That's why I've put the headphones on.
Yeah, you can't deal with the headphones, can you?
I can't, man.
You just can't do it.
No.
Imagine if you were like a musician, you'd just have to give up.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did get a call today. So big thanks to him, and I'll play it for you.
All right, let's go.
Hey lads, Aaron from Canberra, long time listener, first time caller. What's your thoughts on hoarding things like 3 or 4 VS Commodores, knowing what's happening into the future in regards to accessibility of Australian-made V8 cars?
First of all, long-time listener, first-time caller. I've always wanted to say that, and I've never had the opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And you've probably contacted the right people, because we get asked probably weekly in the DMs if we're willing to sell insert part here, or just any, or have you got any 5-litre stuff that you want to sell?
Yeah.
And no, we don't, because we're keeping it all.
Yeah, that's right. It's definitely got to the point where it's harder to find and harder to get. So
it's one of those things, I think, if you've got a hold of it now, unless you do need the money or you absolutely are not going to use it, well then, sweet. Like, now is probably not a bad time to be moving some of that stuff on, because it is worth good money and there's a lot of FOMO going around. But for us and for what we're doing, obviously, we want to build more cars, and we want to, you know, like, some cars will probably get moved on and, you know, the next one will come in. So you don't know when we're going to need that sort of stuff. So we're going to hold on to as much as we can. Not only that, obviously, there's the big push for EVs. So there's not that that's a sustainable thing
that's going to work, but that's not stopping them.
Yeah, that's probably a conversation. Yeah, that could be a whole new podcast.
Let's not go down there.
But, you know, like, yeah, these cars aren't going to be readily available. These parts aren't going to be readily available. The people that do have them are going to want to hold them. So if you've got them, well, then you're just going to have to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
I
think it's a good idea if you've got the room and you've got the scope that you think you might need, because you never know. You might, all you got to do is throw a leg in a combination, and then you're up for a new block. You know,
that's
what I
right.
mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, something nips up and you take the bore out and you can't, you know, no one wants to go 60 thou on a Holden V8. So you'll need another one. So,
or sleeves.
Yeah. But so I've got, how many have I got? I've got 3 blocks, I think. I've got the one that's in the car, I've got the one that's originally from the car, and I've got my VT block, which I'm building into the 355. So I think for me and what I'm doing, I'm good with what I've got.
Yeah.
You've got have you got another one than that again? I can't even keep up. You've got like a lineup of them in your shed.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I've got, so one of them actually isn't mine. It's probably just going to end up staying at my house forever at this point, because I think it's been there for about 4 years.
Mm.
But one of them's not mine. But I've got a stock 308. I've got obviously the engine that's in the ute. I've got 2 spare complete engines. I've got my 383. I've got another VT block, which I was originally going to build a 355. But then I went the 383 instead. And then I've got another one, but it's cooked. Yeah. Like, it needs a sleeve. It probably could be salvageable, but it needs a sleeve.
You'd have to blow up all those other ones before you even consider
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then even then, you probably wouldn't. You'd just
I'd probably one of those other ones. They would probably be a better candidate than this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, if we take that one out of the equation, I've got 6 blocks.
Yeah, and you've got, you'll never need all those, but you've got them there anyway.
Yeah.
Because for a while, they weren't worth a ton.
No. And I mean, we've robbed parts off those engines that have been sitting there. Yeah, you know,
we do need another engine. I don't even know if I've spoken to you about this yet, but one of our upcoming
builds
that we're really, really excited to get started on later on in the year, we are going to need another motor for that.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to need a stock engine for mock-up purposes and whatnot.
And for registration purposes as well, because the one that's going in, it isn't going to pass rego.
Oh, you think it's going to be a little bit pseudo-legal?
Yeah.
It's lucky we don't need roadworthy certificates in WA.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to finish up...
Props to you guys in, you know, the states that do, and you have to, like, reverse everything and go over and get a roadie and go, nah, screw that.
Yeah, it's hard work.
But shout out to South Australia, getting Rego over the phone. If we can get that...
I think Northern Territory is pretty cruisy as well, is it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but something's telling me that they're fairly cruisy as well.
Who's the Minister for Transport in WA? It's Rita...
Don't know.
Rita someone. If you could just sort out some Rego over the phone for us, we'd be eternally grateful. I'd put a WA government sticker on my car. Not a yellow one, though.
What's the go with... This is shooting straight from the hip. What's the go with Club Rego? Because I've realised this thing's 30 years old now.
Nah, so in WA, it's got to be pre-1990.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course.
Don't worry, because I was the same. I was thinking, man, not long am I due to be 30 years old when they brought it in, but nah, it's pre-1990. So if you have an 89 model VN, you can get it. But if it's a 90 model VN, you can't.
Mm.
That's where they drew the line.
Yeah.
And obviously, you got to draw the line.
Yeah, in
the
sense I do get it. I 100% do get it.
I would have preferred a 30-year, like a rolling 30-year, which it's like in other states. I think some of them are even 25 maybe. But yeah. If it was, say, 30 years old, that'd be cool with me.
Yeah.
I understand that some people are going, oh yeah, better car.
It sort of feels like a bit of it. They're throwing us like a temporary bone, you know, like it'll keep some people happy for a while, but then as we go on, these are just going to keep getting older, obviously.
Yeah.
And then it won't be until there's enough voices going like, dude,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you think they'd just do it as a rolling and then leave it, but that's it, you don't have to keep revisiting it, then you don't have to do the petitions.
But you think the hot rod and the street rod stuff, like the ASRF, that's pre-49 and that's always been and that hasn't moved. But obviously, that sort of car.
Well, that's a hot. That's what a hot rod is.
That's right. Yeah. So it'd be different. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen it be 30 years. Obviously, my VH is old enough. Yeah.
We only say that because our cars don't fall in there. If it wasn't, we'd be like, fuck it, too bad. Yeah. You should like older cars.
Yeah. Yeah, get a steel bumper.
Yeah, your plastic bumpered shit. So, nah, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, but as for hoarding, that's, I'm all for it.
Jeff is literally the worst. He buys that much shit and that just sits on his, like, he loves it. I'm like, bro, you got a whole car you got to restore and you're buying this other shit that's not even applicable to it. But you're just like, bro, it was a good deal.
And it was.
Yeah.
It always was.
And I probably would too if I had a little more room and stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, you got to draw the line somewhere.
There's people that are plenty worse than me.
Yeah, I'm glad I've got pretty much all the parts that I've really, like the real particular stuff that I've wanted on this one. Mm. I'm glad I've got most of it. There's always a few little bits and pieces here and there, but the prices of like... especially new old stock parts now. Yeah. I'm like, nah, you know what? Nah, that's not for me.
See, I'm already planning my next build. That's my thing. Whereas once your car's done, obviously you're going to build another car eventually, but what you're planning now is the next stage, I guess.
Yeah, this is build. Just going to be an ever-evolving thing.
Yeah. Whereas once my VH is done, then I want to circle back to the ute and do that. So I'm keeping an eye out, and if there's a part that I know is going to be applicable to that build and it's at a good price, well, then I'm going to buy it and stick it on the shelf because it's better to be looking at it than looking for it.
Mm, yeah.
Even though I'm not ready for it and I'm probably not going to be ready for the next, you know, 3-4 years before I can do what I want to do with that ute, you know, failing lotto win or fame or whatever. But that stuff is going to be used.
Yeah.
You know, I get people that are like,
obviously. And look, I ain't mad because, you know, I never know when I might need something. Like, yeah, like, you ain't got, just yeah, take yeah, it. Yeah. Look, you're not using it, Jeff. I'll just take that and...
You won't even know it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're all about it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thanks for the call, Aaron, and to the rest of you scurvy dogs. If you've got a sweet question, it doesn't matter if it's a question or you've just got a story.
Or a statement.
Yeah. If you've got a story from... you know, from say Summonats or Motivation, it'll probably be the next time we do a podcast, Motivation will be done and dusted.
Yeah.
If you got a story from that or even just any other event you've been to or you want to give us some feedback, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you just want to say good day, you can, there's a link, go to our website, talkhub.com.au, and there'll be a button there where you can send us a voicemail. It doesn't matter whether it's a phone, a tablet, a PC. If you got a microphone, you can send us a voicemail. And it works anywhere in the world. There's no international call rates to worry about. Whatever. It's sweet.
It's free.
Last episode, we have one coming from the Netherlands.
Yeah, so that was sick.
That was sick. Shout out to UFO.
Doesn't cost you anything. Just like subscribing to the channel. Doesn't cost you anything. Some people still think that it costs money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How much does it cost to subscribe, Kurt? Nothing, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't even ask people to subscribe if it costs something.
No.
Because you'd be giving money for not much in return.
Yeah. Hey, look, there are people that do pretty well with that whole Patreon thing. And you can do YouTube memberships. Like, we could do a monthly membership on YouTube to give exclusive content, but that's just not us. No.
Well, it's more work, man. We
struggle.
We're just trying to keep our head above water, just doing what we're doing. And we're not doing it to get money off anyone. So it's not even a thing we've thought about.
Yeah.
Or even something that I think we ever would.
No.
You know what I mean? If you want to support us, buy a shirt or a hat.
I was going to say, if you want to support us, like this podcast or any video that you watch on whatever platform you're doing it on, drop us a comment, share it with a friend if, you know, they're into cars, or even if you don't know if they're really into cars, but you think they might enjoy it, share it with them. Then if you want to support us a little bit more, you can go to the website, talkhub.com.au, shirt, hoodie, hat, socks, stickers, stubby holders. You know,
got the fries that'll cross your eyes, mate.
Yeah. The cat's meow.
Yeah.
And the bee's knees.
Yeah.
They're all there. And the duck's nuts.
Yeah, don't forget that. Yeah, that's a staple.
I've got to list the duck's nuts.
Yeah.
That's probably all we got time for today.
Yeah.
I think we've gone up to our hour.
Hour and 15, 16, that's enough.
Nice work. We actually, truth be told, we're going to get off this and we got more work to do on this car. And it's Sunday, late evening, and we got work tomorrow.
Yeah. So,
thanks heaps. I'm going to hopefully edit this tonight and get it out for your Monday commute. Hope you all enjoyed listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening. See ya.